This is a podcast where you don't have to be perfect. You can be happy. Make your day count. Encouraging, uplifting, full of joy. You're worth more than you think. This is Entirely Unconventional, and I'm Lindsay Roberts. I pray for something miraculous to happen to you today.
It's interesting, too, because you mentioned this part of, like, you have to acknowledge where you're at. You have to deal with reality. I mean, that's the whole thing with David. You see him saying things like, "My soul, why are you downcast?"
Yes.
Right? Like, there's this element of, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
You're as you unwrap your candy, and Jordan is all upset in the corner.
Don't anybody criticize. It had to be done.
The snacks
are okay. I need sustenance.
I need the snack. So there's this, like, element of, like, embracing reality. I don't feel like in Christian culture, which is funny that there's such a thing.
I feel a lot better.
Good. A little sugar does a lot, goes a long way. It seems like in Christian culture, especially in, like, our Western world, like, especially in, like, I guess you'd say faith camps, they don't tend to do the best job at acknowledging reality. But if you don't have a starting point, how can you ever get anywhere, you know? And then there's this component of, okay, there's the give it to God, go to God. But I think the part that's interesting that I'm keying in on what you're talking about is also there is an element of personal accountability, right? You can choose, and I've heard you say this a lot, you can choose to focus on the problem.
Yep.
Or you can choose to focus on the solution
to the problem. Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at the reality of all of this mess or all of this political mess or all of, you know, gas prices, the prices of eggs, you can say how, you know, almost like you're in this position where you're a victim, right?
Yeah.
And so then you go to God. But then I think there's this, especially for people listening, there's also this component of take personal accountability and responsibility.
Yes.
That I still have a job to look, you know, I look up to the heavens. I look to the mountains. Where does my help come from?
That's right.
You have a responsibility to look, to keep your eyes open, to say, you know, what could I be doing or where is the opportunity? Rather than, I think it's easy to fall into this, well, I have no control. It's the people in power that make the decisions. I'm just a victim. And the whole concept of being a follower of Christ is that you should be able to live above that system, not because God's dropping, you know, fairy dust from the sky, but because he's hopefully giving you, as you seek him, an ability to see things that other people can't because their perspectives are so convoluted by the desperation of the reality.
When you think about what the Bible says on faith, faith is actually like an action verb. Not just an action word, but faith without corresponding action, faith without works is as good as dead, the Bible says. If we don't have a form of corresponding action, first of all, as a robot, you can't do that. But as a human, you can. But let's go back to something I always say. Satan is good at his job. You know, we can say, why me? I think if I had a nickel for every time I said, why me, I'd have a lot of nickels.
Mm-hmm.
I could buy a lot of stuff.
Right.
And we look at it like everything is monetary. You know, it's, oh, he has more money than I do, or he has a better job than I do. You know what? There's sometimes people with money that aren't happy. There's sometimes people with a great job that are miserable. There's sometimes people that, as they say, poor as a church mouse. I don't know where that came from, but they might be the happiest people on earth. We gauge things. We are taught to gauge things in such a monetary way that I think it's easy to look to a monetary answer as opposed to a faith answer. Yes, we are accountable to get back into faith. But Satan is accountable to keep us out of there. And don't think that his attack is some little, oh, I'll just scare him off a little. Do you ever, I don't know if you, I know you were raised in church. Mm-hmm. I know your parents are the pastors.
Right.
But did you ever hear the song, if Satan doesn't like it, he can sit on attack?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah,
and then they go, sit on attack. Okay. Woo!
Yeah.
I don't care for that song. Because if Satan doesn't like it and we tell him, go sit on attack.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, that's not going to defeat the devil. Number two, it's only going to make him mad.
Right.
And number three, I do not want my children or myself to think the devil is going to go away with something as simple as a thumbtack. This is war. You don't wear an armor to a picnic. God said, put on the armor of God. to defeat the wiles, tricks, and strategies of the devil. When you look at Ephesians and you understand that there's a helmet of salvation, there's a breastplate of righteousness, right believing. You've got to believe what the Word of God says. The belt of truth. Truth of what? Truth of the Word of God, if you want it to be, you know, coming to pass in your life. You put on the gospel shoes of peace. Peace can be a lot of things. It can sort of feel like Calgon, take me away. It can mean that there is the absence of war, but it also means destroying the stronghold that creates chaos. Look at the root, find where this is coming from. And then it also defines nothing missing, nothing broken. When you get into peace, God's peace, the peace that surpasses or bypasses your human understanding, you can actually get into nothing missing, nothing broken. And if you think for one split second that Satan is going to sit back and go, I'll just wait till they find that verse. He's not. It doesn't work like that. He's good at his job. He is a tormentor, the Bible says. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is the thief. He's the father of lies. When you look at who the devil is, I was working on a project. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, but the Lord woke me up the other night, clear as a bell. And he was saying, you have undersold the blood. Undersold. Undervalued, underestimated, all of it's under. All of it is, in a sense, diminished, belittled, made small. We make our problems so big because they are. Satan's good at his job. But do we make the answer to the problems bigger than the problems? Well, there are days when I do, and I am very committed to, by faith, through faith, in faith, quoting the Word of God, expecting a miracle, believing in divine intervention. And then there are days when I feel so sorry for myself, even a good piece of pie won't help me.
Yeah.
I mean, there are days when Satan is so good at his job, and I am, do you still say bamboozled?
You can if you'd
like. Okay, I'd like to. When I am totally and completely bamboozled by that. You know, words change over the years.
They do.
And I have to make sure that I'm still saying, I'm old enough to make sure these words are still appropriate.
It's appropriate, and that's all you have to worry about.
I mean, goodness sake, a lot of things have taken on a new meaning.
Yeah.
But I'm bamboozled at how I belittle the shed blood of Jesus and the written Word of God. And that is because Satan's good at his job. My job is to be better. My job as a Christian is to act like one, to believe the word, act on the word, preach the word. Overall, you know, what it takes to be a minister these days, to be a preacher. Listen, I'm not going to be smart alecky. Can you say that too?
Yeah, you can say
that. Good. I'm not trying to be that person. My husband was going to be a professional golfer and was given a contract to sing at one of the lounges in one of the biggest hotels in Las Vegas at the time.
Yeah.
Of course, it was 600 years ago, but you know, there was only two hotels and a dirt road at the time, but you know, carriages and bicycles.
Yeah.
But truth be told, I went to law school. I was that student that was always above the curve. I always begged for extra homework, and I already had an A in the class. I was that learning curve. I was that person that thought learning and gaining knowledge was the greatest thing that my brain would work. I loved every minute of it. So I have a what I would consider to be from a very good school, a quality education in undergraduate school. I was that way in high school. I was that way in college. I was accepted into law school. I was not a failure in the educational realm. So it's not like I don't have all these other things that if I'd gone into the world would have said, oh, look at her.
Right.
Oh, look at them. And by the way, they go to church on Sunday and they're Christians. Why in the world would I fall under the devil's persecution to, especially these days, to say I'm a preacher? Let's just not tell that part.
Yeah.
And truth be told, as I get older, it does get harder. The world changes enough to going to church right now is kind of a bad thing in some instances.
What gets harder?
I believe with what we have, social media, the persistence of the devil, the constant, oh, what can I call it? Barrage of negativity of Christian things. Are there Christians that mess up? Oh my goodness, yes, we're all humans.
Yeah.
Are there Christian churches that mess up? Heavenly days, yes. Are there Christian schools that mess up? Yes. Why? Because we're all human beings. We are not some superpower.
Yeah.
Although I try to convince my husband I am. Yeah. He knows I'm not.
Yeah.
But there's truth in the fact that there's been a shift in how Christianity is perceived.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a shift in how things that Christians believe are perceived as bad things. And some of it, Christians have helped along.
What are some of those things that you see? What are those, some of those things where you can see, it hasn't always been like that? Let's
be funny.
Like,
can we do it with humor? Yeah, the Ten Commandments. Absolutely. Guess what? That's still in the Bible.
Right.
Oh, that's Old Testament. All right. So let's pick and choose. All right. I'm not going to murder.
Yeah. Right.
But is that adultery thing still in there?
Right.
You know, you can't pick and choose. And the New Testament didn't abolish the Old Testament. It actually fulfilled it.
Hmm.
And so when we think of things, well, you know, what you see on TV. Oh, well, that's just old fashioned.
Hmm.
No, it's the Bible. Oh, well, then you're just old fashioned. No, I'm a Christian. Oh, well, then that's all of that's old-fashioned.
Yeah.
So the persecution is there, but here's the thing. The availability is there to live the way you see on television. Live with your boyfriend. That's not my opinion. That's not my choice. I know what the Bible says. I am not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to jam Jesus down your throat. I believe that you either believe the Bible or don't. I have a saying, a person changed against his will is of the same opinion still. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to jam a Bible down your throat thinking I've changed you, maybe out of guilt, and 3 weeks later you go back and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But we have made things that are not biblical very romantic,
mm-hmm.
and we've made them very attractive, and we've also made them very love. You know, if you really love someone, you accept them. I look at it this way: if I really love my children, I have to discipline, because if I allowed my children to walk out in the middle of the road and say, "I love you so much that I'm not going to stop you and tell you no," they could get run over by a bus. Now, I'm not trying to be weird about that. But there have been things that have been romanticized. There have been things that have been beautiful. Listen, I know people living in sin who are some of the happiest people I've ever seen in my life. And I know Christian couples that it's a miracle they're not both choking each other.
Yeah.
That's not the standard. The standard is the Bible. Do people mess it up? Yes. Do people make Christianity look appalling? I know so many Christians that sometimes I think even Jesus is looking at you saying, stop using my name with that kind of stuff. And I also know Christians who really live the Bible, but you're not perfect. I know sinners who act more like a Christian than a Christian. And I know Christians who act more like a sinner than the worst person in the world. It's because we're human. And it's all, to me, there is a standard of righteousness. And when you see certain things on the media, social media, television, somehow the line, I think, this is just Lindsay,
mm-hmm.
I think the line's been blurred of what's right and wrong, what's good and evil, what's biblical and not biblical. And we do want to accept everyone. Listen, I do believe in accepting everyone. I believe in beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. They'll know we're Christian by our love walk. Doesn't mean I have to approve. Now, it goes back to my dog, Coco. You know my little chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it my pooping dog story. I'm sorry if you're not allowed to say that on this. I repent, but I'm going to say it anyway. I loved my little chihuahua. She lived almost 15 or 16 years. It was as that dog, it was as if she knew me. She could talk. And if she didn't want something, she'd turn her back, stick her nose in the air like a spoiled child. She was hilarious. And yet, she would go outside, fake that she potted, come back in the house, and right precisely where your shoes and your feet were, she would poop at your feet. And notoriously, constantly, Richard and I would step in it. You'd think we'd learn after 16 years, but we didn't. We weren't good at that. It didn't mean I didn't love her, but there were times I didn't approve of her actions. I didn't just say, oh, aren't you the cutest thing? Poop on everybody. No, there were rules. There were boundaries. And now I think we do blur the line of rules and boundaries in the name of love. I still loved my Coco. Coco's in heaven now. I loved Coco. I didn't always approve of her actions, but I always loved her. And I think that we're crisscrossing. We have to approve of everybody's actions, good, bad, or indifferent, or we're not acting in love. Sometimes the greatest love you'll ever show somebody is to show that there is a way to heaven. And if I don't show that to you, And just say I'm wrong. Then you've lived a happy life. But just say I'm right. In the name of love and peace and all that other stuff, I let you go to hell and live in eternal separation from God because, well, I wanted to make sure you knew I loved you. I do love you, but I love you enough to discipline the Bible, not me, not my opinion. Would I have written it that way? I'm not smart enough to write it that way. But God was.
Yeah.
And I don't believe he wrote the Bible to box us out. I believe he wrote the Bible to hold us in. There's a difference when parents tell their children no. They're not trying to box them out to be meanies. They're trying to hold them in to protect them. Mm-hmm. At the time, the child might not know that, but the parent does. God knows and sees everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what really is best for me. Listen, I've told God so many times what I thought was best for me. Dear God, if he'd answered my prayers, where would I be? You know, that song, I thank God for unanswered prayers. I didn't write it, but I should have.
Yeah.
I mean, I thank God that he didn't answer some of my prayers because my prayers were absolutely, can I say stupid?
Yeah.
Because they were stupid. Mm-hmm. They had no logic or intelligence in them whatsoever. They were emotional, but they weren't right. Love is a lovely emotion. Love is a lovely thing. Love it. I want us to be seen as Christians who love one another and love the unlovely. How easy it is, the Bible says, to love the lovely, but how difficult it is, how godly it is when you love the unlovely. Listen, I don't believe, the Bible says in Christ there's no condemnation. There's correction, but there's not condemnation. Do I believe the Bible? Yes. Do I want people to believe the Bible so they're bound in? No, I want people to believe the Bible so they go to heaven. Do I believe that there's a hell? Yeah. Do I believe people can go to heaven? Yes. Do I believe people can go to hell? Yes. Why? How do I believe that? Because I believe we can experience hell on earth and heaven on earth. And if it's just a taste, as the Bible says, of what lies ahead, what may feel good down here may just be anti-Bible. I don't think there's anything that I could approve of so much that I would let you miss heaven over. Not that I want to not love you or be loving, or act in the love. Love is one thing, but approval and understanding the Bible may be different. God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to eradicate any sin, sickness, sorrow, disease. And I want to love one another. I don't want to bash you into the kingdom or guilt you into the kingdom. But if I show you what real love is, agape love, unconditional God love, Zoe love, if I can show you that kind of love, then you'll want to love yourself into the kingdom. And I don't want, God didn't want anyone to perish, neither do I.
Yeah.
That's not because I hate you. I didn't hate Coco by trying to get her to stop pooping at my feet. I really love that dog. I just didn't approve of some of her behavior. God loves us. But he doesn't love us to let us run wild in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us enough to get us into heaven.
So how do you navigate that within the context of everyday relationships? And here's kind of like, because I've heard that stuff all my life,
yeah.
You know, this whole, even, you know, you love the sinner, hate the sin. We need to have standards. You talk about fighting the fight. Like we have a fight. We get people talk about standing up, but how do you do that and be productive in the sense of, a lot of times it feels like virtue signaling from Christians.
Yep.
Because they don't want to talk about their gossip or gluttony.
Yeah.
They want to talk about homosexuality and want to talk about adultery.
Yeah.
You know, you go into certain churches even. I'll use personal example. I'm divorced.
Yeah.
I'm a divorced man.
Yes, you are.
So you go into a certain sex, certain groups, and they'll look at divorce as, oh, well, God forgives that and you move on and it's, you know, whatever. And then you have people who, you know, there's certain scenarios where divorce is okay and they get to decide based upon their perspective of scripture,
which is right. And if you tell me your whole story, I'll be the judge and jury.
Yeah, exactly.
And if your story is juicy enough, I'll not only be the judge and jury, I'll take it to the prayer group so everybody can hear it.
Everybody can hear it, right?
Listen.
Yeah. So there's this component of like, I've gone into certain environments, certain churches, even post being divorced, and have felt very uncomfortable. Even though what they're saying is, we love you, we accept you here, it's almost this thing of like, everything that you're saying is not what I'm feeling.
So I have understood the love the sin, hate the sinner. And sometimes through, I'm going to use it, I don't like this word, I really don't like this word, but it's appropriate, judgmental Christians, mm-hmm. who, when the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged, they decided to be judge and jury. And I even heard one person say they were the policeman for the body of Christ. Oh, God help us. I love the police. I honor the police. But that particular person was the last person on earth that I thought, if your sins were exposed, honey, you wouldn't be the policeman. You'd be, I don't know, hiding under a tree or something. But I know this. When I was a child, I went to a church that I wanted to babysit for this woman because she was the most lovely woman I'd ever met in my life. She had a little boy, and she had asked me to babysit. And I thought, you know, I can earn money. I like this lady. She's so Christian. She's so godly. I'm going to take the job. And, it, you know, back to my 92 cents an hour. Buck an hour is big back then. Yeah. And as it turns out, I didn't see her at church anymore. And I thought, oh, man, I hope this means I didn't lose my job. She never came back to church. So I went to a Sunday school teacher and I said, what happened to her? Oh, we kicked her out. What did she do? My first thought was, oh my gosh, it's a good thing I didn't get the job. What did she do? She was divorced. And her husband was openly committing adultery. And he divorced her. She tried everything she knew. And she was left with nothing. And she had custody of a child, and she struggled. And they booted her. And I've gone to several churches, so don't try and pick out which denomination. Listen, I've been to so many churches as a kid. I was a church hopper. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you why I was a church hopper. There was another church I went to, and my father died when I was 12. I said that earlier. And I had a Sunday school teacher come up to me and say, why weren't you in church? And I said, because there was a death in my family. And I said, okay, I understand that. They said, and why weren't you in Sunday school? I said, I was at my father's funeral. I'm 12 years old. I wanted a whole lot of sympathy. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted a hug. And she said to me, that is no excuse for missing Sunday school. You ruined our perfect attendance, and now you don't get a pin. Mm. I wasn't savvy enough to tell her what I thought of that pin, but I didn't want it now for anything on the earth. And you know, Nick, I started church hopping and I never settled. Hmm. And just before I was married, I went to church with my mother-in-law. And you know, sometimes when you're married and you're going to different churches, it's because Oral's the preacher.
Right.
Well, in this particular case, he was out of town. She said, let's just for fun go to this church. We went to the church. The person looked at my mother-in-law. We were on the second row. You couldn't miss Evelyn Roberts. Oral was on television all over the universe.
Everybody knew him, yeah.
And this preacher started derailing Oral. She just went off. I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. And I thought, wow. My mother-in-law said to me, what did you think of church? I said, I think church hasn't changed in the last 12 years that I haven't been in it, and I'm not going back. And the pastor walked by her and tried to sheepishly avoid her because he knew what he had done. And he couldn't. So he held his hand out, and she said, isn't it a lovely day? She didn't say lovely sermon. She said, thanks for derailing Oral. Thanks for being a jerk. She didn't say any of that. And I said to her afterwards, how did you do that? She said, I'm going to let the love of God shine in me so big that I'm going to let God deal with him. I was like, give me 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. We won't need God to intervene in this one. But you know what? She set an example for me. We're not going to get the answers we want.
Yeah.
We're not going to get them in church. We're not going to get them from church people all the time. You may get them in church sometimes. You may get them from church people sometime. You know where you get the answers you want the most. Mm. It's in the Bible. Sometimes church will preach exactly the Bible. I've been in some of the most fabulous churches in the world.
Yeah.
There's a lady in California. Her name is Nancy Dufresne. If ever there was a woman that restored my faith in churches, she's great. I've known her. Your parents, I've known them for you know, over 40 years. Nancy, I've known since she was a teenager, and she's in her 60s now.
Yeah.
And some people will preach the word of God with such love and compassion, and some won't.
Yeah.
That doesn't change the Bible. Mm. Changes my opinion of people,
yeah.
But it doesn't change the Bible. How do you keep that standard? You read the word. Mm. I'm the Lord, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Am I emotional about it? Yeah, I've seen the church really hurt my children. I've seen them hurt my father-in-law. I've seen the church. I've seen church people hurt me. At my son's funeral, his memorial service, I'm 36 hours from birthing a child. And to be perfectly honest, you know, I was not past the birthing stage, barely. Anybody who's had a baby can figure that out. I was hemorrhaging, let's just call it what it was. And I was extremely emotional, extremely sick. And my child had just died in my arms. And my father-in-law wanted to put it on live television through a service so that people would stop asking me and asking him, where's the baby? Which they did all the time. It was only hours afterwards. And I'm heading to the cemetery to put my child in the ground. Hmm. Now, that was my third pregnancy. And I'd been told at 18. I'm almost like 28. And a woman came up and said, I prayed for God to kill that baby, and God answered my prayers. Hmm. This is a woman in a church service.
Yeah.
Life is real, Nick.
Yeah.
Emotions are raw. People believe the worst.
Yeah.
And yet you have to love them unconditionally. Why? Because if Jesus could possibly love me.
Right.
Wow. That's the least I can do. Does it make sense? Do they deserve it? No, and neither did I. But I can do it because I can do all things through Christ. God asked me to forgive somebody once and I said no. If lightning could have struck, I'd have been on the ground. Mm-hmm. And I meant every word of it. Mm. And he said, do you think I could forgive them? And I said, yeah, of course, you're God. And the Lord spoke to me as clear, you could say, in my head, in my heart, in my ears. I don't care how it was. I can tell you, he said, do you believe the scripture that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? And I said, yes. I mean, I could have been a real show off. Philippians 4:13. That's not what right. He was talking about. He was saying to me, you can memorize scripture, Lindsay, but who cares? I mean, he was probably happy I memorized it. But what he was saying to me is, if I can do all things, then will you forgive her through Christ who strengthens you? And I said, well, that was dirty. I said, that was unfair. And he said, no. Can you forgive her through me? And I said, yeah. Never thought about it again. There was another man that I wanted to, I could have used the word hate. You're not supposed to be a hater. You're a Christian. Oh, no, 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 yeah. No. You do something that vile to my kid.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, believe me.
Yeah.
Hate seemed like an understatement. And the Lord said, forgive him. And I said, no, no. See, hate's a whole lot easier and it's a lot more fun. And it's way more conversation. Right. No, come on. It makes for much better. Yeah. Oh, I forgave stories, his right? sorry little self. I forgave him. No, you want to gossip?
Yeah.
Let's talk the hate word. Yeah, yeah. I mean, oh, listen, I had words that we could have said that could have buried that man. But God said, forgive him. Mm. And you know, I did. And you want to know what's really weird? I see him a lot. Mm. All the time, as a matter of fact. Mm. And I have no emotion of hate or angst or any of it. And what's really bizarre is the man repented. Mm. And if he had, great. If he hadn't, great.
Yeah.
God was holding me accountable. Mm. Oh, but he hurt your child. Oh, yeah. And we hurt God's child, but we can do it through Christ who gives us the strength. If he can do all things, I can attach my wagon to his all things.
Yeah.
And that's what I believe. Is it a choice? The Bible says, choose this day whom you'll serve. I could have chosen hate. I've got a stack of haters I could choose. Yeah. But I made a choice to choose God.
Yeah.
And has he let me down? No. Did it feel like it sometimes? Yes.
Right.
But really, it's not him. It comes down to what? Satan's good at his job, and I have to be better at mine.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Entirely Unconventional. If it impacted you, please consider leaving a review and giving it a 5-star rating. To order Lindsay's new book, Discover Your True Strength, visit discoveryourtruestrength.com. To connect with Lindsay on social media, you can find her at Lindsay Roberts Official. See you next week.